It's time to get nerdy, y'all.
A little bit of gaming history for you.
Something relevant in gaming and discuss our opinions on it.
Should we kick it out of here or should we kick start it?
This is the part where you, the listeners, try to stump the hosts.
I'm not a lawyer. I just play one on a podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's Tuesday. I forgot the date. October 5th, 2021. And you know what that means. It's time to get nerdy, y'all. Welcome to episode number 201 of Two Nerds in a Pod, the nerdiest video game podcast in the galaxy. I am Lum, also known as Mr. Nice Guy, joined by my comrade and award-winning podcast host, Maxion. Mac, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing amazing. Dude, I'm still kind of, walking on sunshine from podcast day and from the podcast awards this year, dude.
Yeah, so Mac and I are kind of going back and forth about who wants to announce this. I tried to make him do it by saying that intro. He's trying to make me do it. Here's what happened, y'all. Podcast awards were last week, Thursday. Your boys, Maxion and Nice Guy, won two podcast awards. Mac, why don't you tell them the categories that we won, though?
So we won in Best Black Hosted Podcast.
That was all you. That was all you.
If you say so. And we also won in the category of Games and Hobbies.
They're both huge.
And that was clearly all you.
Yeah. Dude, it's interesting. So I don't know if I ever told you this. Someone who was on the panel DM'd me like a couple weeks ago and was like, hey, I just want you to, and it's not someone who I know at all. He said, hey, I just want you to know I listened to your podcast. It's really good. And I'm going to vote for you guys for Best Black Hosted Podcast. And when I saw that, I was like, we are, and I already knew we have a good product. But the fact that someone would take the time to reach out in the DMs and be like, I'm voting for you. I was like, oh, we're going to win at least one category. I don't think I shared it with you at the time, but that did happen.
You might have shared it with me privately, but it does have a ring of familiarity. I will say, though, it is incredibly exciting because, among other things, like in Games and Hobbies, some of the people that we were up against were not only great, solid people with fantastic podcasts, but like among them was Things I Got Wrong at Trivia, whom we lost against last year, and I didn't think we stood a chance, so it was exciting.
And how has your week been? What's been going on besides winning the podcast awards, man? What else is up?
Oh, man. I wish there was all that much going on, but this last week, really, that's been the headline act. I've just been doing a lot of stuff here and there to try and get my, to get my house in order, as it were. And but that's the big, bright, shining aspect.
Nice. Well, just to give the people a couple updates, because I know we have some listeners in Milwaukee, and I know we have some listeners who have internet, I am going to be doing a couple shows this week. Thursday night, I'm going to be headlining at Failed to Render Comedy Club. That's a virtual reality comedy club, but here's the thing. If you have Altspace VR, you can just watch it through that. You don't even have to have VR. You can just watch it on your PC. That's going to be Failed to Render Comedy Club Thursday night. I think it's 9 o'clock Mountain, or 9 o'clock Central Time. And then Friday, I will be headlining a show here in Milwaukee at Puddler's Hall, so you can come check that out. But Mac, on that note, I say we do what we do best, and we hop right into that gaming news, man. What do you think about that?
Let's absolutely do it. Mr. Nice Guy, episode 201.
Two Nerds in a Pod. That's exactly right. Well, let's do this. Mac, I'll be honest with you, man. Usually it's a banger. The news this week, not that interesting. But we're going to do it because there's some okay stories. So remember how we used to do a segment called Dummy of the Week back in the day? We stopped it because we felt like it painted gamers in a bad light. Well, you'll have to indulge me because I saw this story and I was like, we got to go over this. Like, this is kind of a cool story. So this is on PC. Nope, it's not. It's on Kotaku.com about some car thieves. And it is written by Luke Plunkett. A gang of British car thieves have been arrested after being caught using a device disguised as a Nintendo Game Boy, which was designed to bypass the security systems on modern cars. As the BBC reports, the BBC, the device, worth around £20,000, US dollars 27,000, is able to be used to not just get past the car's security system, but also start the engine as well, allowing thieves to quickly drive off with the stolen vehicle. In this case, the device was hidden inside a fake Game Boy case, specifically the kind of fake Supreme case that's incredibly popular on sites like Wish and Taobao. Mac, bottom line, these thieves were caught after stealing a Mitsubishi Outlander when they were captured on CCTV, allowing local police to identify them. Now, first of all, gamers, or rather thieves, stop using video games to do your crime. Like, stop trying to make it look like gamers are bad and we're always doing things like stealing. And second of all, if this thing cost $27,000, I feel like they probably didn't need to be stealing cars. Like, that's a lot of money, right? And thirdly, I Googled the cost of the Mitsubishi Outlander. It's $26,000 new. So that's less than the cost of the device that they used to steal the car. Thieves have got to be better. Am I being too harsh, Mac?
Not at all. You would think that they would aim a little bit higher. Because what do they say? Like, the second you drive it off of the lot, it loses half of its value?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to get that $26,000 back from that Mitsubishi. So why not go for something? Go for, like, a Lamborghini or something.
Right.
That'll be, like, 100 thou or whatever. Yeah.
Right. And it's not like, I would imagine that Mitsubishis don't have the most high-tech security compared to, like, a quote-unquote luxury car. So why are you stealing that car? It makes no sense to me. Galvatron in the chat says, my car was probably stolen using an OBD scanner. It was similar to that reader that you plug into your OBD. I don't know what OBD is. Port when you get a check engine light. Oh, those types of things. Yeah, those computer.
I think OBD is supposed to stand for onboard diagnostics, but I'm not sure.
Gotcha. Well, regardless, don't hide your criminal stuff in video games. It makes us all look bad. Mac, let's move on to some real video game news. This is about Xbox Game Pass and the stuff that we are getting in October 2021. 8 games have been announced so far. One of them is a game that I'm excited for and that I think Mac is excited for as well. Here is what they are. On Game Pass this month, we are going to be getting Back 4 Blood. I believe that's on the 12th. It's going to be on console, PC, and cloud. Tabs, I don't know what that is. Ring of Pain, The Good Life, Visage, Destiny 2 Beyond Light, Rift Breaker, and The Procession of Calvary. So, Mac, let's just talk Back 4 Blood for a little bit. You got to try the beta, right, a few months ago? Or maybe it was the alpha. Regardless, you got to play it, right?
Yeah, I got to give it a go.
Now, was it good enough that you are excited for it, or do you feel like classic Left 4 Dead is still where it's at? Or do you like this reimagining?
I think that classic Left 4 Dead is still where it's at. I really enjoy it. But it's not without its charms, though.
And here's the thing. I'm excited for it. I think it'll be a really, really fun game for, like, 6 months, right? You hop on with your buddies, you play it. You play through everything that there is to do. And then eventually they add some more content and you go through. I will say this. I had a blast playing it in the beta. And that was playing with randoms. I was playing on PlayStation 4. It's just super fun. It's super smooth. There weren't a lot of bugs. It is best with people who are willing to communicate. Like, that goes without saying, right? You always get, just like in zombie TV shows, you always get that one person who just wants to wander off and do their own thing, right? You're on a supply run. They decide to take unnecessary risks. They end up getting everybody killed because you try to save them. And so it's going to be better with like-minded people. But it's a really, really well put together game. And I'm excited to see if it ends up in my top 5 for this year.
I think the one issue I feel like I really had with Back 4 Blood was I didn't feel like the tutorial really explained the workings of the game especially well. And I'm sure that that's something that they've ironed out now so that, you know, when you hop in, you know how everything goes. But I feel like in the alpha or the beta or wherever it was when I tried it out, that they really hadn't figured out how to properly, you know, get you going on the game. But I'm sure it's much better now.
I agree 100% because there was, like, a card collecting system where you could add these cards to your character and it would give you upgrades, and it, like, didn't explain it at all, right? And so I was just, like, walking around the base camp trying to figure things out, and I finally figured them out. but it was not a good tutorial. So anyway, I'm excited for that game. The rest of the stuff on Game Pass, I could take or leave. But I think it's fantastic that that game is basically going to be quote-unquote free on Game Pass. I'm excited for everyone, and it's cross-play too. So just so you know, if you have a PC, there's really no reason to buy that on Steam. You should just get a month or two of Game Pass and enjoy that game. So moving on, we got a couple more news stories, and then we will keep things moving. Mac, have you ever played a GTA game? Like, were you ever into Grand Theft Auto at all? I don't think you were.
I wasn't really into Grand Theft Auto, but I have played small chunks of a couple of them. I want to say Grand Theft Auto 3, and I think that's it.
Okay. So we're starting to get more and more clues that Rockstar is working on a Grand Theft Auto trilogy to remaster some of these games. And here's where we're at. This one's from PCGamer.com by Andy Chalk. It's already pretty well established that a remastered GTA trilogy is happening. Publisher Take-Two Interactive said that in August that it's working on three iterations of previously released titles, and they haven't yet been formally announced. And last week, South Korea's games rating board let slip the classification of something called Grand Theft Auto Trilogy, the Definitive Edition. Well, now there's listings on a data update that says that there is GTA 3 San Andreas and Vice City. Apparently, they're all going to be done in the Unreal Engine. Mac, I will tell you this. I'm not going to ask your opinion on GTA because you haven't really been into it, but I will tell you this. When I look back on games that I played, like on the PlayStation 2 era, GTA San Andreas is probably the best game I ever played. And it was like an open-world GTA, obviously. They're all open-world. But it was one of the first ones to really like feature African-American character. And there was stuff to do besides just running around the streets and doing the missions and shooting people. You could go to the gym, right, and work out. And if you worked out, your character would get more buff. You could go eat to get sustenance, right? You could have different types of relationships in the game. It was just a killer game. And so I'm excited to see that remade and see how it turns out. So last thing I will share for news this week is that Windows 11 is starting to offer more stuff to gamers. They're coming out with it. They're going to try to make it appeal more to the video game audience. We'll see. Here is what they are adding. They're going to have auto HDR. They're going to have direct storage. And they're going to have hardware support, which means it's not exactly new, but they promise the new iteration will continue to have the broadest hardware support in the world, quote unquote, right? And then, of course, Xbox App and Xbox Game Pass. So my last question for you for this segment, Mac, is as a gamer who plays on PC, do you use Windows as your operating system, or do you use Linux, or do you use something else? Like, what are you rocking?
I'm rocking Windows. Windows 10.
Sweet. I was just curious because I was wondering if you weren't using it, if them trying to appeal to gamers, you know, because Microsoft and Xbox and Game Pass all kind of the same ecosystem, if it would make you switch to Windows. But it sounds like you're already.
Yeah, I'm already
so you're
there.
Not one of those rebels who likes Linux. Well, that has been our news for the week.
All right. Well, now we turn to a little bit of video game history. And I have to start with some sad news today. And that is, back in January, in episode 174, we talked about the release in 2008 of Chef Boyardee's Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden, Chapter 1 of the Hoops Barkley Saga, which was released for the PC back in '08. And obviously, with a name like that, very memorable. But I mentioned that in the sequel, the magical realms of Tyranog, Escape from Necron 7, Revenge of the Kulikan, the official game of the movie,
yep,
Chapter 2 of the Hoops Barkley Saga, was getting close to release. Sadly, it turns out in mid-June of this year, it's been confirmed that the project is officially canceled. But all of the work...
No.
I know, right? But all of the work and all of the code and all of the assets are available online. You can download all the source code and everything. And if you do something with it, it's just a Creative Commons attribution non-commercial license. So if there's any of you within the sound of my voice that were really hoping for Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden Chapter 2 and now won't have that, you've got the option to take it into your own hands and to make that work for you. All right, so that's the bad news.
Okay.
But let's talk good news, Mr. Nice Guy.
Let's talk good.
I want to focus on a little thing called Retro Sonic. And I don't mean just the exact, like, Retrosonic, like, the concept, right?
Right.
But about the game itself, actually. And mostly what I want to talk about is Christian the Taxman Whitehead from Australia, who's a game dev. And the dude is legit.
Okay.
So he started off by trying to code a Sonic game in Multimedia Fusion, just as a sort of exercise, which kind of led him over to doing to like learning Visual Basic VB and reworking the game in that. And as time went on, he eventually, you know, figured out to work things in C++ and made essentially a Sonic video game engine in C++ just because of his love for the Sonic franchise and his desire to have, you know, retro feeling Sonic the Hedgehog on, you know, things other than the Sega Genesis. The engine that he built got dubbed the Retro Engine, and it was super cool because one of his projects was he took Sonic CD and ported it to other platforms.
Okay.
But at some point in 2009, Taxman takes and reaches out to Sega Genesis and to Sega, and he says that he would like to port Sega CD to iOS.
Interesting.
We'll put a little asterisk by this, but instead of saying, sure, go for it, kid, Sega says, you know, why port the game when you can do it all from scratch? And so he does. He builds Sega CD from scratch in his retro engine and then uses that to release Sega CD for mobile. But here's where that little asterisk comes in. Now, there's a bit of speculation, and if any of you happen to know what exactly went on or know better than I do or what have you, let us know. But there's some speculation, I've heard this pointed evidence this way, to say that Sega no longer has the source code, because why else would they tell somebody to remake a game from scratch instead of, you know, sharing the source code of it with them?
That's a valid question.
There was a Destructoid article, and they interviewed Taxman, and inside of it, it does bring up, inside that article, it does say that, or it does float the idea that Sega didn't have the source code for the Sonic titles that he did. And now, I will say, so I can't confirm one way or the other, but I will say you probably may have noticed that I said titles, plural, because after he did that rebuild of Sega CD, he also gets contracted alongside another Sonic modder to do the official porting, or were they total remakes, of Sonic 1 and 2 to all, you know, to mobile devices. And then here comes the best part of this story, which you might be thinking, well, dude, that's already pretty awesome.
It's already an amazing story.
Right? Yeah. A company like Sega working with modders to bring the products and to make something. But Taxman gets hired to make Sonic Mania, which got released a few years back, and which I'm sure some of you have played. So, you know, coming from just trying to basically rework things, passion project, to getting legit jobs by Sega, and then, of course, moving on to making your own spin on the Sonic franchise. I mean, it's a success story. And even though it technically didn't exactly happen this week in video game history, which I know is sort of a departure, I just felt like, you know what I really wanted to share was one of those really, really heartwarming stories from history. And I think Taxman here is delightful.
No, that's awesome. Dude, that was cool because that's not something that we've ever heard before. Like, that was legit. I can't wait to see what Legalese is. You have a tough act to follow. You dug yourself a hole.
Under pressure now.
I know. Under pressure. All right. Time for the next segment, which is the topic of the week, where we talk about something relevant in gaming and give our opinions on it. Mac, this is a news story that surprised me, but also makes sense. So it wasn't like anything wild, but it was kind of unexpected. So here is where we're at. We're going to talk about Apple a little bit. And maybe you can even kind of tie this into the lawsuit that happened. I don't know if there's a connection, but we'll see. So this is on IGN.com by Logan Plant. Apple is reportedly on top when it comes to video game revenue, despite not developing consoles or major AAA games of its own. The Wall Street Journal reports that Apple made $8.5 billion in operating profits from gaming in 2019. According to the Post, this totals more than Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft, and Activision combined. Because the company doesn't make or sell dedicated gaming consoles or have a major game development division, most of these profits come from third-party games on the App Store. Apple gets revenue by taking a 30% cut from all purchases made on the App Store. Players reportedly spent $45 billion on mobile games on the App Store in the 2020 fiscal year. The top two regions for spending were China and the U.S. Going forward, Apple may see less revenue coming from China as the Chinese government recently set a three-hour limit for kids playing online games. So, Mac, I'm not going to read this whole article. I just want to get your overall thoughts on this. Like, more money for Apple in game revenue than the big three combined.
Well, okay, so one thing I will take a slight thing at is that I'm going to have to look a little bit deeper into where they're getting their numbers. It's entirely possible that it's accurate. It's entirely possible that they've done great reporting. I just don't know where they would get those numbers from in the first place. Maybe?
Well, it's just to be clear, this article was on IGN, but it comes from the Wall Street Journal. Not to say that the Wall Street Journal can't make mistakes, but that's who it came from.
Sure. Credit where credit is due. I feel like maybe it's in filings. Maybe it's in quarterly statements. I don't know. But I would just love to know where they were looking for their data. But one of the things that I do believe we found out as a result of the whole Epic v. Apple, because some component of the discussion in the Epic v. Apple back and forth was about the whole, you know, 30% cut. Interestingly enough, the judge in the case was very clear that that she didn't feel like 30% was justified. But then again, Epic kept saying, well, $0 is justified. And that's where he's, you know, that's where he's, where they were at. The judge was just like, nope, you're both wrong, but Epic, you are so much wronger than Apple is, so we're giving it to Apple, which, you know, obviously I'm trying it, but there was a lot of discussion about that 30% cut, and it sounds like, and it happens to be a little bit more nuanced than that, the whole, you know, the whole 30% cut. And I can't call up from memory how the cut exactly works, the Apple 30%, but I think it's a little bit more nuanced than a flat 30. I could have sworn it was less than 30% once you get, you know, until you get over a certain amount or some such like that.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
You know, all that being said, that makes it even more impressive if that's the case.
And that's the thing to me is, like, I mean, they're taking a smaller profit than Nintendo is, right? Or than Sony is, or than Microsoft is. And they don't have a console. Now, here's the thing. If we're being fair, there are probably more iPhones out there than there are consoles. In fact, I'll go so far as to say there have to be. Because it's not just people who have the iPhone 12 or the iPhone 13 or the latest iPad. It goes back generations. There's people rocking the iPhone 6, right? And they can still play some of these games. They can still make mobile purchases. And when you have an install base that big, it's really not surprising that you're getting more revenue than the big three. Now, that said, like, Apple has talked about making a VR headset. The rumor is that it will be $3,000. They've talked about making Apple glasses to do AR. Like, they're really making moves. Mac, with this type of revenue, do we see an Apple console within, like, the next generation of consoles? Like, a straight-up gaming console?
No, I don't think so. Because I feel like, you know, they are probably getting enough money on the software side of things to not need to dip into making a hardware device. Now, to be fair, it's not like they couldn't do it, because they certainly have the supply lines locked down, they have the expertise of trying to design their own stuff in-house. They've certainly done that with the iPhones and the like, but I don't know. I think they just wouldn't find the margins on hardware to be enough to convince them to go that route, especially when they're getting good enough margins on software.
And I think you're right. I think if they do it, it's just going to be a because we can type of thing. But they already have enough proven entities, right? They have the iPhone, and now someone has created the backbone that you can connect to your iPhone and you can use it like a console, right? And you can play Game Pass on there and you can play mobile games on there. Same thing with the iPad. You can literally play your console games on here, or you can play mobile games using a controller. Apple's whole thing is that they make a new version of their existing hardware every year, right? They do it with the iPad, they do it with the iPhone. And so I can't see them coming out with a console and saying, we're not going to make another one of these for 5 years. That's just not how they operate. Like, they like to come up with stuff that can be reduced and done over and over and over again. So I agree with you 100%. That's what I have on this. I just wanted to have this conversation. Mac, anything else you want to end with as far as the Apple and mobile gaming and whatnot?
I think we've done it.
That has been our topic of the week.
All right. Well, now we turn to a crowdfunding effort that's trying to get off the ground. We call this Kick or Kickstart. And I know I'm not surprising anyone by putting up a game like this, aside from maybe the money amounts involved. So the link is in the chat. It's called Unusual Findings, a point-and-click adventure to the 80s. So obviously it's got some real Stranger Things vibes that they're going for. Point and click.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, does point and click not one of my things? And oh man, look at those beautiful chunky pixels. Lovely pixel art going on there. I love it. It looks great. It, you know, at least it sounds great. It seems great. There's so much about it that seems terrific. It's got alien robots, potentially. Some of it's still shrouded in mystery. The game looks terrific. There's little mini games that are like arcade in style inside of it. I really like it. And if you happen to be interested in a game, you can get a digital copy for about $13, which isn't bad. It's about the right price point. They're looking for $12,000. Well, it's like 12 and a quarter in order to get this project off the ground. They still have 31 days to go on it, so plenty of time. And the development studio, Epic Llama, this is their first Kickstarter, but it's not their first game. They've done a few games in the past, so they can bring things together.
Okay.
However, before I do that, Mr. Nice Guy, any feelings or questions about it?
Yeah, no questions. But honestly, this looks dope. Like, I like the level of parody that's in there. I scroll down and I see the kids in front of a video store called Video Buster, which I think is great. It looks like they have real movie posters in there, which I don't know, maybe they get some copyright issues with that. Looks like there's a Back to the Future, a Goonies, a Star Trek, or a Star Wars poster. I mean, to me, that's just asking for trouble. They really didn't need to even put that in the game. They have Batman figures and all these DC figures in here as well. I just think that could be a problem. But other than that, this looks cool.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you mentioned that. My head went to a very similar place when I saw those. I was just like, ooh, I don't know. Could you get in trouble with some trademark infringement? I don't know. But we'll just have to see. We're not lawyers, obviously. Well, you know me, Mr. Nice Guy. I like the look. I like the sound, the touch, the feel of cotton, the fabric of our lives, speaking of trademarks. As it so happens, I have a big rule, and that is that you've got to prove that you can bring it all together. And they do include a playable demo as part of this Kickstarter project. I just remembered one thing that I should mention. They are eyeing and I'm not sure if this is a misprint, but it says that the delivery date, estimated delivery of the digital copy for the game, November 2021.
Wow, that's impressive.
That's next month.
Yeah, which is absurd because this ends in 31 days.
Yeah, which is why I think it has to be, and I haven't seen, and I might have just missed it, but I didn't see any other mention of what their delivery date was going to be. I think it might just have been an issue of, like, you know, checking the wrong box, but it can't possibly be. It's one of those situations where it's like, you know, $12,000 to get it going seems a little less, you know, seems a little bit too low for something like this, but also,
right,
you know, release in November. So I actually am going to send these guys a message and find out what the expected release date is and such, just to make 100% sure, because if this is something that winds up getting released next month, that would be probably the fastest turnaround I had ever seen. But we try and take everything on face value as much as we can. And for us, at least, having a playable demo goes a heck of a long way.
And it could be a situation where they are pretty much done with the game and they just needed some cash to get over the hump, right? It really could be, especially based on that dollar amount.
Yeah, it really could be just a little bit to get them the last bit over the finish line. So that being said, though, that is Unusual Findings. And Mr. Nice Guy, how do we find this game of Unusual Findings?
I think this looks great. Honestly, I want to see this get kickstarted. I assume this is only on Steam, and once again, that used to really frustrate me, but with the Steam Deck coming out, and I'm so excited for that, that the issue of wanting to play this type of game mobile and it not being on the Switch is no longer an issue. So I say kickstart this. This looks great. $13, yeah.
Yeah, I say kickstart it as well. The price is right. I think, like I said, the asking price is a little bit low, and I don't think realistically that we'll see it in November next month. But, you know, I mean, hey, we'll find out what they say. Tentatively, though, I say kickstart as well. So, yeah, Epic Llama, we wish you the best. Either way, here's to hoping. They've still got a little ways to go, but they've got plenty of time to get that $12,000 in order to make this project a reality.
Well, Mac, thank you for that, dude. I'm excited to see what happens with that game. It does have a Stranger Things feel. Like, it just looks really cool. It's really charming. I'm excited to see what happens. So moving on to our next segment, a segment we like to call Nerd Flex.
Woo-hoo.
A segment where you, the viewers, try to stump the hosts and you haven't done it in quite a while. So if you're here live, you have a job to do. Get those multiple choice gaming related questions in the chat. We take them live. We'll do it live, Mac, and we do it that way so that you know we're not using Google, we're not cheating, you know, it's all legit. So Mac, in the meantime, while we wait for people to pull up those questions, I have a question from our trusty dusty test bank of questions, and here's the question, Mac. What, and I think I know the answer to this, but I might not. What is Sonic the Hedgehog's favorite food?
Oh.
What is Sonic the Hedgehog's favorite food?
I know this. I seem to recall it being a big deal inside of the cartoon chili dogs.
So I agree. I agree that chili dogs are Sonic's favorite food. But here's the thing. Is the cartoon canon? That's what comes to my mind when I read this question. Like, sometimes the cartoon is like one universe. Sometimes the game is separate. Regardless, I don't remember any reference to Sonic's favorite food in the game. So I'm going to agree with you that it's chili dogs. Final answer. Let's do it. Let's flip this card over. And the answer is kumquats. No, I'm just kidding. It's absolutely chili dogs. Sonic's favorite food are chili dogs.
Awesome.
So the cartoon is canon. That answers that. You okay?
Sorry about that. You'd think after 35 years, I would have learned how to drink some water without choking to death, but Clearly
it goes
not.
Down the wrong pipe sometimes. No worries. Well, our viewers are being shy today. Oh, no, they're not. They just came up with a question. Why don't you read this one back?
Okay, this one is obviously a shot across the bow toward you, Mr. Nice Guy, from Galvatron, which is, what was the first NBA 2K game where Michael Jordan made his first appearance? Was it 2K 11, 12, 13, 16, 19? Oh, hang on, I got that wrong. Was it 2K 11, 3, 2, 6, 9, 13, or 5? So, we've got 2, 3, 5, 6, 9, 11, and 13.
See, now this question, I'll tell you what. This is absurd, because why would you give us 7 options in a multiple choice question? First of all, Galvatron. And second of all, why would you put them out of order? Like, it couldn't have possibly been that hard to just put them in numerical order. But you're trolling, and I love it, and we love you, and we appreciate you being here. Mac, I am pretty sure the early ones, like 2K1, 2K2, 2K3, those were the ones that had Allen Iverson on the cover every single year. And back then, I don't think Jordan was in the game. In fact, I think back then, they were pretty much keeping, like, current-day players in the game. And I could be wrong, but I seem to remember that when I got NBA 2K11, I feel like Michael Jordan was on the cover that year. And I feel like it was a really big deal. So I am going to go with NBA 2K11, and that is my final answer.
And I'm going to have to go with you, because I've never played a single 2K game in my life. We're going with 2K11. It's Mr. Nice Guy's final answer. It's our final answer.
Galvatron said, that's close. It was not NBA 2K11. Jordan was on the cover, which I was right about, but his first appearance was in 2K3. Okay. In the meantime, let's pull up one last question from the test bank. And I don't know if we've done this one before, but Mac, if we have, you'll have to let me know. This is a Pokemon question. I bet Spenis knows the answer. What city is the Unova region based on in Pokemon? What city is the Unova region based on? I don't even know.
No idea. I mean, I'm going to take a flyer and I'm going to say, it can't be Tokyo. That's been done. I'm going to say something wild and crazy and say Melbourne, Australia.
It sounds like Russian to me, so I don't know. But I'm going to go with you with Melbourne, Australia. We're still waiting for G.
These are fill in the blanks. So, I mean, we don't have to unify on an answer here. So I say go with whatever. If you want to do St. Petersburg, do St. Petersburg.
I'm going to go with St. Petersburg. Let's do it. Final answer. Let's see. Now, we got that one wrong. The correct answer was New York City. And that's okay. I can't imagine a Pokemon game having a region based on New York City, because that's like not a place you'd want to go to catch Pokemon, right? I don't know. That's just me. And we got the other one wrong as well, which is totally okay. For the sake of time, that has been Nerdflex. We went 1 for 3 this week. Appreciate y'all.
Well, now we turn to legalese.
Legalese.
I'm not a lawyer. I just play one here on a podcast. And today we're going to talk about Arctic International. Now, the probably real famous case you might have heard of was Midway v. Arctic. That gets most of the love. But Williams v. Arctic is also super important, especially for people like you and me who enjoy video games that, well, adapt to some extent, that aren't always route. So this case comes to us from the early 1980s and involves arcade games, but the ideas that would wind up being applied here applied in tons of court cases involving video games. And also, quick shout out to Arctic International. They wound up being involved in a whole bunch of early 80s lawsuits, and I think they lost every one of them. But at the end of their losing streak, it wound up settling a lot of important questions. anyway, so Williams made the video game called Defender. And Arctic International made a knockoff called Defense Command.
Okay.
Now, Williams sued for copyright infringement, and by the end of the discovery phase, it became clear that Arctic had absolutely copied the code for Defender. There were mistakes in score recording that were identical between them. They even had the same default high scoreboard, complete with the initials of the Williams Electronics employees.
Unbelievable.
I know, right? That's the type of stuff that we would put on Dummy of the Week. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's insane.
So faced with this, Arctic realized that they had to kind of pivot and make a complete change in the argument, because they obviously weren't going to win on copying. So they couched the case as an argument that Williams can't have a copyright on the game because of the fundamental requirement of a copyright to fix an expression. And you might be thinking, what's the big deal? Coding the game is totally fixing an expression in a tangible medium. And while that might be like a settled question now, because of the way technology has progressed to the way that we think, it wasn't so much of a settled thing back then. Now, Arctic managed to bring up two ways that they thought meant that the game wasn't in fact fixed and wasn't a fixed expression, right? And that came down to arguments about interactivity, right? They said the images move around on the screen and they disappear. That's not fixed, you know, and they kind of likened that to sort of like print on a page. That's obviously expression that's fixed, but, you know, that images moving on the screen, that's not fixed. They also tried to argue, and this is one of the more interesting ones, that the player is the co-author of the video game because the game changes based on what the player does. And that means that a video game like this, and also if you guys, you know, think about this concept about maybe the player being a co-author, that it's like that means no video game is fixed ever. And while I think it was definitely an interesting argument, the court found and continues to find, if this idea is ever brought up, that neither of those arguments were convincing. Because yes, while the code was fixed, fixed should be understood to mean, and I'll quote directly from it, sufficiently permanent or stable to permit it to be reproduced or otherwise communicated. That's the quote there. And the images were repeated from code, which communicates it. And perhaps most importantly, the player participation is a feature of the interactive medium. Feature, not a bug. Like I said, Arctic would go on to lose a whole bunch of other cases, but it's surprising how large of a role they wound up playing in the very notion of video games being a copyrightable, being an expression, a form of expression that, as we know, wouldn't wind up for many years down the road getting quite the credit it would deserve. But it was a long road, and God bless you, Arctic International, for all of your copyright infringing and all of your attempts to make knockoff video games. We wouldn't be in the same place without you.
Absolutely. Mac, you're such a great orator. I don't know if anyone has ever told you that before.
Oh, shucks. I'm not a great orator. If I were, I wouldn't say so darn much.
It happens. It adds to the charm of this award-winning podcast.
That's right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that has been episode number 201 of Two Nerds in a Pod, nerdiest award-winning video game podcast in the galaxy. Before we go, we have one last segment called What We've Been Watching and What We've Been Playing, where we talk about just that, the cool nerdy stuff that we've been watching and playing. So if you're here live, you have a job to do. Let us know the cool nerdy stuff you have been playing and watching, and I said that like four times. Mac, what have you been into, man?
Oh, man. I've not been playing a lot, sadly. I've been, you know, otherwise occupied, but I have been watching a lot of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I think that's it, Mr. Nice Guy. I'm sorry, I don't think I've played a single video game since we talked last.
Dude, it's all good.
And all of my in-person, all of my, you know, rolling dice, tabletop, RPGs, things like that, all of my groups have canceled on me.
What? That's right. Last week, we didn't play.
Yeah.
That's true. People had legit reasons, though, just in case.
You for sure.
We love y'all. He's just joking around. So anyways, what have I been watching and playing? I've been watching that new Wonder Years, Mac. I don't know if you watched the Wonder Years back in the day, but now there's a new Wonder Years, and it's from an African-American perspective, right? The original Wonder Years from a Caucasian family's perspective. This one is narrated by the man, the myth, the legend, Don Cheadle. And the acting is solid. Dule Hill from one of our favorite shows is the father. And he does a great job as a father in that era. He's not the main character, though, Max. So don't get too excited. But, I mean, we love Dule Hill, right? He's a brilliant actor, hilarious. The show is just great all around. And like I said, Cheadle narrates it. So I've been watching that. What else have I been watching? Been watching some Boondocks, man. Watching that cartoon. Been watching a little bit of Bob's Burgers. For some reason, I got into that. And tonight, when we get done, I'm going to go watch that new Dave Chappelle special on Netflix. I am so excited. Number 6 and last one. As far as what I have been playing, mostly Deathloop, but getting in a good amount of Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. And we'll leave it at that. Mac, what are people into in the chat?
Well, Rolf has been playing Farming Simulator 2019, Skyrim, and Slay the Spire. Man, that's Skyrim. I sure hope there's a new version of that soon. Otherwise, start to lose faith in gaming.
Yeah. I'm worried about Apple's profits. They need that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Galvatron's been watching The Many Saints of Newark, Venom 2, that's Venom Let There Be Carnage, Cruella, and Free Guy. Well, a couple of those things I've actually been somewhat interested in myself, so you'll have to tell us what you think.
A few people earlier mentioned that they just beat Deathloop, which I still need to beat it, so please no spoilers, but that's pretty cool. It might be my game of the year. We'll see what happens. And we were all talking about how we're excited for Back for Blood, and we may get a community game going.
Galvatron's playing Castlevania Advance Collection, which is apparently great. Aragami 2, Last Stop, Astra Ascending, and Scarlet Nexus. Kane's playing RimWorld and the Castlevania Advance Collection. Uncle Ruckus playing MLB The Show and Deathloop and the Halo Technical Test.
That was this past weekend. Yep.
More dish with the information. Let's see. Spenis has been watching football and Red Sox, and has been playing MLB The Show, NBA 2K22, FIFA 22, and just finished Deathloop. And it looks like Uncle Ruckus is with you there on watching The Boondocks, as well as South Park, Entourage, The Office, and The Simpsons.
Nice. Well, Mac, why don't you take us home, brother?
All right. Thanks for being here, everybody, for this newly minted award-winning video game podcast. Y'all are the best. You're the best viewers on Twitch. You're the best listeners on insert podcast platform name here. And you're just the best all around. We hope you'll join us next Tuesday, 9 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Pacific, here at twitch.tv/2nerdsinapod. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and keep it nerdy. See you later.
Bye.